led us to our Bibles. To 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this afternoon, we will meditate upon, particularly upon verse 5. The subject this afternoon is giving as an act of worship. And we read here that the churches of Macedonia, because they not only give, they did a great deal more in their giving than was expected of them to do. This they did, Paul says, not as we hoped. We had only hoped that they would give a little, for they were not a rich or wealthy people, and a little would definitely show their generosity to the needy Christians or the needy saints at Jerusalem. And Paul was ready to commend them for their giving, and thank God that they were willing to remember those who were poor, in great need, more than themselves. They went far beyond anything he expected of them. And Paul bore record of their giving to the utmost of their limit of their power. Yea, we read in verse 3, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And so Paul was very much encouraged by their testimony. Our gifts to God, brethren, and for the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are not to be measured by the amount we contribute, but by the surplus kept in our own hand. The two mites of the widow that we read of in the gospel were in Christ's eyes worth more than all the other money cast into the treasury. For Jesus said in Mark 12:44, for she of her want or lack did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And so it was, she was commended for that by the Lord Jesus. Not only did those Macedonian believers give much, but we read here also they give it willingly, out of a cheerful heart. They were willing of themselves. Verse 3 again. They were willing of themselves. This added fragrance or sweetness to their gift. They needed no pressing, no urging, no compulsion. The apostle did not organize a fund gathering event to entice them to give or to coerce them to give, or even to preach loud and long sermon to arouse them to their duty. They were willing of themselves. But this Macedonian Christians gave more than money. They gave themselves. Paul writes, they first, in verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Verse 5. This was the best giving. Better even than the two mites of the poor widow. She gave her living, but they gave their life and their very being, their very soul to God and to God's people. They also give the best offering in the best way. How? They did not stop with giving themselves to the Lord. They also give themselves to God's people, to the Lord's people. And this is the will of God, that those who yield themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ should also join those who are already God's people. In considering what all these churches of Macedonia have done, I would suggest that for our meditation this afternoon, let us consider, first of all, that these people are an example to us in several ways. And in the second place, let us follow their example. First of all, the early Christians are examples to us, the believers in our days. The early Christians are an example to us. The grace of God seems to have been so largely bestowed upon them that they, of whom little was expected of them, yet they sprang once into the chief place of honor. Their testimony shines, their witness for Christ shines in their giving. We see in this, and thank God we do see this in some churches, even in our days, the poor and despised people of God, ridiculed by the world, but they suddenly excel all above their brethren in their Christian witness. The great works of the world is not, or are not, done by the great people of the world, but as the unknown, the obscure, patiently working unseen, produce large results. It often happens that the weakest brethren, the weakest vessel, bestow a large legacy of blessing upon God's people, upon us, the Christian believers. This was the case in Macedonia. We read in verse 2. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. As an ounce of example is worth a pound of precept, let us study the conduct of these early Christians very carefully for our imitation. First, they set us as an example because they follow the right order. Notice that they follow the right order. What do we mean by that? They did the first thing first. And that is, Paul says concerning them, this they did, not as we hope, but first give their own selves to the Lord. Give their own selves to the Lord. Great damage always comes as a result, brethren and friends, from departing from God's method in spiritual matters, in spiritual things. When the Lord tells you to believe and be baptized, if you are baptized first and believe afterwards, you have upset the scriptural order and have practically disobeyed it, and you have not kept to God's word at all when you reverse God's order. There is nothing like doing the right thing in the right order. Do what the Lord tells you and do it as He tells you. I repeat, do what the Lord tells you and do it as He tells you. These Macedonian believers put the first thing first. They first gave themselves to the Lord. They surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, they give themselves to the church of God or to the people of God. And this is the first thing because it is of first importance. If you are Christ, God's people, join Christ's people. But the first thing is see to it, make sure that you are first, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield yourself unto Him. Surrender your heart to Him. Trust in Him. This is the first thing. And everything else is of secondary importance in comparison to this first honor. Dear friends, have you surrendered yourself to the Lord Jesus? Have you truly surrendered yourselves, your heart, your will to the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you truly say, I am my Lord's and He is mine? I have, by His grace, mixture of that, especially you young people who are just starting out in life. Let this be your prime concern. May God give you grace to yield yourselves, surrender yourselves, submit yourselves to Christ even now before you face the fiercer temptations of the world. Be still and consider this matter soberly, carefully, and say from your heart, I will now unreservedly yield myself to him who died for me. If a man gave himself to the church, he must not therefore suppose that he has given himself to God. To give himself to the people of God before giving himself first to God will do the man no good. It will indeed do him, in fact, a positive harm, damage. The man who acts in this way is either self-deceived or else a deceiver. He does wrong to God, he does wrong to the church, he does wrong to himself or herself, and thus is a threefold offender. You have no right to either of the ordinances of Christ if you do not belong to him. They are only for the believers. And until you first give yourself to the Lord Jesus, you have no right to be reckoned among the people of God. If you come to the Lord's table as an unbeliever, so far from getting any good there, you will eat and drink damnation to yourselves, as we read from scripture, for you cannot discern the Lord's body, and therefore you cannot rightly use the bread and the cup, which are the embers of his broken body and poured out blood. Dear friends, keep that first thing first. Give yourself first to the Lord. Then give yourselves to fellow believers by the will of God. This is the first thing, and again, because it leads to the second. The people in those days did not care about early Christians. They did not care about joining churches unless they first give themselves to the Lord. The persecution of the early Christian was a wonderful means of keeping the church pure. Church officers then did not need to examine those who sought fellowship with them or to be members of the church, as we are obliged to do in our days, for not many were likely to present themselves unless they loved their Lord and his gospel better than life itself. I mentioned this before the last time. We have very little understanding and knowledge concerning the early Christians, and we have taken our own salvation for granted, because in those days, the early Christians in the early churches, to become a Christian, to identify yourselves and join a church, is a very serious matter. It is a matter of life and death. You may be out of job because you are a Christian in those days, or you are a follower or disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will suffer literally physical hurt and injury. You may even die for your faith, not like us in our time. So even then, some hypocrites did profess to be the Lord's people, though their heart was far from the Lord Jesus. Therefore, brethren, make a very careful searching inquiry. Make a very sober, solemn reflection into your own spiritual state before you offer yourself as a candidate for church membership. Make sure that first you are the Lord's, then come to be baptized and confessing your faith. Examine your own heart. Do you truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you become Christ's servant? Have you taken his cross upon your shoulder to bear it after him? Then come and welcome and join with God's people. But you must not do it until first you are the Lord's, and he is indeed your personal Savior and Lord. Secondly, we see here that these Macedonian Christians are example to us because they were free in what they did. They first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They did not come to God by compulsion. There was a gentle pressure upon them by the Holy Spirit, too, which made them willing in the day of God's power, and they were willingly and cheerfully, or rather they willingly and cheerfully gave themselves up to God. Are you doing so, brethren, friends? Is your religion a thing which has been impressed upon you by your surrounding, by your circumstances, especially your adverse circumstances, by your Christian friends, or by the demands of society? And as we know, there are people who come to Christ just because they need help. They need help. They are sick or they are in trouble, and so they seek the Lord. But that is about all. There is no true conversion in their hearts. To be truly the Lord's, there must be a voluntary giving up of yourself to Him and into His service in holy worship. To be a child of God ought to be your soul's greatest delight. It is the most important decision in your life. And so be like those who gave themselves to the Lord, and they did it cheerfully and freely. So let us also do likewise. Then we see that they gave themselves also wholly, as in completely or entirely, and unreservedly. And this is proven, or rather proved, by the fact of their giving of their substance, giving of their money, followed the gift of their own selves. The dedication of their person was followed by the consecration of their wallet or their purses. It was no half-hearted offering of a grudging spirit, but a real and practical yielding up of their heart, of every bit of their being, to be entirely and forever the Lord's. Now, this is the sort of conversion that delights both God and His people. And of course, I must say, it must certainly delight the pastor or the minister who preach the gospel to see this kind of conversion. When the whole being, the whole man is all aflame with love to Christ. When there is no attempt to compromise matters or to keep back any part of that which belongs to the Lord, when we are able to truly or truthfully sing from our heart the words of this hymn, which you are familiar, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite could I withhold. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee." This Macedonian Christian was so eager to be out and out for Christ that naturally they, without any constraint, without any compulsion or force, gave themselves to God's people. So we ask, are you able to say from your heart, "Yes, I belong to Christ and I desire to join those who also belong to Christ"? Brethren and friends, give yourself first to God and afterwards to His church, as these people did, cheerfully and promptly, without pressure or without excitement. They came forward not even as the apostle hoped, but they went beyond all that. What a blessing. What an example for us to imitate. In the third place, these people are good example to us, not only in following the right order, not only in doing it willingly, but because they had a sense of obedience in both in the right order and both in their will. What they did because they found that it was the will of God. Verse 5, it was the will of God to do that. So they did it in obedience. It was a calm decision of the heart, made sensitive by the indwelling or the work of the Holy Spirit. Their faith was a living one, produced this good. They were not carried away by emotions, by signs and wonders, but led by reason and conscience, or rather conscience, to give all to the Lord Jesus, who deserved more than all they could give. They felt that it was right to give themselves to the Lord first. They said, how can we do otherwise? Christ, who has bought us with his own blood, we must give ourselves to him. Therefore, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. We must choose him. The Holy Spirit has renewed us. This new nature in us must belong to Christ. We are God's people by election, by creation, by providence, by redemption, by new creation, by adoption, and his we will be forever and ever. They felt that they could do no other, they felt that they could not do otherwise, but must be wholly consecrated to the Lord, wholly devoted to him because of what the Lord has done for them on Calvary's cross. This is the apostle's argument when he says this, which we have already meditated upon and studied in our last Lord's Day meditation, when Paul says what? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. I wish that under the strait, or rather under the sweet constraint of divine love, many of us, many of you, might be led at once to give yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you on the cross. Well then, they felt the same thing about giving themselves to the apostle, and they felt the same thing of giving themselves to the church. They gave of themselves to the apostle. How or why? Because the apostles, right, appointed by God, brought them or gave them or preached to them the word of God. The apostle Paul has been a messenger from God to them. So what the apostle, not only Paul, but all the rest of the apostle teachers, they do. Why? Because it is the will of God. The apostle showed us or taught us the will of God, the word of God. And therefore they follow in obedience. The Macedonian Christian, having understood the word of God, they had a sense of obedience also in helping the poor, helping the needy saints, and most of all, the poor saints at Jerusalem. They recognized that the care of those in poverty and the care of those in distress was especially pleasing to the Lord Jesus, to whom they had given themselves. So they would gladly make their contribution to the utmost limit of their power. Beloved, it is the will of God that you who love Jesus should be numbered with God's people. It is for your comfort. It is for your spiritual growth. It is for your preservation. If you belong to Christ, you should belong to Christ's church. You owe something to the church already. By it means the preaching of the gospel, you have been kept alive in the world. Through its preaching, you have been converted. Through someone of its members, you were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, who perhaps pass you a tract or share the gospel with you. And so therefore it is your duty and the church's due that you should give yourselves to the church by the will of God. Think it over and see if it not be so. I'm not hinting here that you should join New Life Bible Presbyterian Church in London, but There is a place where God has fed your soul. There is an assembly of God's people where you first of all found the Savior. Then go, and by the will of God, give yourself to that church as you have given yourself to Christ. Our second head is this. Imitate the examples of the early Christians. We have seen their example. Right now, let us imitate them. Let us follow in their footsteps. What use? What use can we make of that example if we do not follow it? If we do not follow the model, the good example set forth for us. Therefore, I suggest, first of all, let us imitate their example in giving yourselves to the Lord. You who have done it, do it again. If you are a Christian, consecrate yourself anew to the Lord Jesus each day. And who have given, and if you have given up and kept back that which God claims, make a full surrender right now. Make a full surrender right now. Do not wait to make yourself better. Do not wait to feel better. But just as you are, determined to be His and determined to be His forever. Pray. Pray what? Pray like this. I now first give all myself to you, Lord Jesus. I trust in the death of Jesus, of Christ, as my only hope of eternal life, and I give myself to Him, believing that He will save me. There are many reasons why I should do this. Talk to yourself. Reason this in yourself. And what are the reasons? And the chief reason is that Jesus gave Himself for me. Shall I not then give myself to Him who loved me and gave Himself for me on that cruel cross? What is there that I should like to keep back or withhold? I know nothing. No, let Christ take all of me. The best offering you can give or bring to Christ is yourself. For until you have given yourself to Him, He cannot accept any other offering at your hand. Unless you are really Christ, unless you really belong to Christ, you cannot truly be happy. Surely, this is a motive that will appeal to you. You wish, do you not? You wish to live a happy, blessed life. Do you not? There is no happiness without holiness, and no holiness without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, give yourself to Him, and He will make you holy through the work of the Holy Spirit, and He will also work in your heart that joy, joy unspeakable also. True joy will never be yours, dear friends, until the joy of the Lord is your strength. To abide in Christ is heaven begun below. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, or rather in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Psalm 84 verse 4. Those who know the Lord best, praise Him the most. Therefore, I would urge you, brethren, to give yourself to Him at this very moment. Furthermore, we are only saved as we are given up to Christ's keeping or Christ's preserving. Only His power can save us from our adversary, the evil one, the devil, who, as we know in Scripture, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. If you give yourself to the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Saved in the arms of the Lord Jesus. He will hold you despite all the assaults of your enemies and all your foes, and none shall pluck you out of His hand, so that you may exultingly say with Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. In the next place, follow their example and give yourself to the church. You that are members of the church, and I'm sure you agree with me that you know that there is no such thing as a perfect church on earth, on this side of eternity. And I hope that you feel almost glad that you have no such church on earth, no such perfect church on earth. I hope you are glad about that. Why? Because if I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment I did join, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it. For it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of that church. But still, imperfect the church may be on earth, it is the dearest place on earth to us, the Christian believers. Therefore, join, though it is imperfect. All who have first given their own selves to the Lord should, as soon as possible, also give themselves to the Lord's people. How else is there to be a church on earth or in the earth if you and I do not join one as believers? If it is right for anyone to refrain from membership in the church, it is right for everyone. And then the testimony of our God would be lost to the world. As I have already said, the church is imperfect, but that is no excuse for you not joining it. If you are the Lord's, nor your own faults, your own doing should keep you from joining. For the church is not an institution for perfect people, not a social club, but a sanctuary for sinners saved by grace, who, though they are saved, are sinners still, and need all the help they can derive from the sympathy and the guidance of their fellow believers. The church is the nursery also for God's weak children, where they are nourished and grow strong. It is the fold for Christ's sheep, the home for Christ's family. You may ask such a question. What should I gain by joining the church? But I say to you, if you have such a question as a believer, that's a miserable question. I will answer it by asking you a question. Do you know how much you will lose by not joining a local church? Do you know how much you will lose by not joining a local church? You will first of all lose the satisfaction of having done the Lord's will, because it is the Lord's will for every true believer to commit themselves to a local church. You will lose the joy of Christian fellowship with your brethren and sisters in Christ. You will lose the opportunity of helping by your example the weak ones or the weak believers of the flock. Your question should be, dear friends, not what I should gain for myself, but what can I do for other fellow Christian believers? And the answer should be, I will join the church because this is the will of God. And there I shall be of benefit and I shall be of blessing to my fellow Christians. If you have given yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and given yourself to God's people, then you know what become of you? If you have done both, joined with Christ, given yourself, surrendered your life to Christ, and receive Him as your Savior, and then you join with God's people, you become a a bearer of Christian witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are one of God's witnesses. That is what membership with the church means. You are on the King's side, King Jesus' side, and under his banner, you will fight as one of those who bear witness to the truth that he or God has revealed. Next, spread the gospel. If you have joined yourself to Christ and joined yourself to God's people, next, spread the gospel. Everybody is needed in this service today. For the clear light of the gospel is sadly, tragically obscure in many churches. We cannot all be preachers. If all were preachers, where would be the hearers? But we want everybody to be talking about Christ by lips and by life, by the printed and the spoken word, telling about salvation by the precious blood for all who believe, forgiveness through the grace of God for the guilty, renovation by the Holy Spirit for the depraved. Come then, brethren, and give yourself to the Lord Jesus and then to his church in order that you may spread the gospel of Christ. The sum of it all, brethren, in our just this brief study here is this. Let all who are not the Lord's come. First of all, come. Give yourselves to God. Give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. Surrender your whole heart and your whole being and your soul to him. Receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. And then give yourselves to God's people and to his service in holy worship. And let those of us who are already on the Lord's side keep together. Let us unite as one and fulfill our vows more than ever we have done before. And therefore let us prove continually that we have given ourselves to the Lord and to his people according to his will. So shall God be magnified if we do that. So shall Christ be glorified. So his church increase and the world blessed. May the Lord grant it to our church for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. O God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, once again, we are reminded how blessed we are, how honored we are to be elected before the foundation of the world. Out of the billions of people in the world, Lord, truly we are unable to fathom and comprehend such great love that you have chosen us to be your people and adopted us into your kingdom in your great love and mercy. Father, we pray that you will help us as you have given us a new day, a new beginning, a new week. Lord, help each one of us, your children, that we may be faithful to the calling that we have received. That thou will grant us the help that we need, your grace, that we may shine forth for thee. That indeed we will not only join ourselves to thee, but that, Lord, you may help us in this new week to consecrate our lives anew to thee. That we may devote our hearts, our all, and surrender even more all to thee, and also to unite and to join with thy people. That together, as one body in Christ, we may advance the kingdom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray. And so, Lord, in this new week, we ask that you will be with your people, lead and guide us and watch over us and keep us close to thee and grant us much grace and strength that we need, the wisdom that we need as we attend to our various responsibilities and duties that you have entrusted to our care. O Lord, only help us to be faithful, and we ask that you will grant us success in all that our hands find to do. Whether for our young people or young children in their study, that they may be diligent and to do all as unto the Lord. Whether for those of us who are in our various employment, that we will also do well as unto the Lord, not as man pleases. Father, we pray that your Spirit will enable each one of us who are your children, that we may truly be light of the world and salt of the earth in this new week for thy glory. Hear this our prayer and dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.